Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, no game for the Dodgers, so that means mailbag episode. We take on your questions, a lot about the trade deadline, a few about Ohtani, a few about Bobby Miller, and what else the Dodgers can do to improve the team. So that's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Download the Game Time app and create an account and use code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. You can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube if you search Locked On Dodgers. And if you want to become a part of the everydayers and never miss a day, because you know we're not going to miss a day, all you got to do is subscribe in each of those places, and that'll help you out, make it a little bit easier. It'll get sent directly to your phone or downloaded directly to your phone, however you have it set up. And you can listen to us every single weekday morning, which is when we're here for you. By we, when we're here for you, I mean me, Vince Samperio. That's my co-host, Jeff Snyder. And we're both lifelong Dodger fans that have spent time covering the team. We've been in the locker room, been in the clubhouse, been to spring training. We've been all over the country watching the Dodgers, and I've even been out of the country to watch the Dodgers. So, safe to say our lives are surrounded by the Dodgers to a certain extent. And that's why we try to bring you the smart fans' perspective on these boys in blue that we are so passionate about every weekday morning. And today, Dodgers didn't play last night. And it's not Jeff's birthday right now as you're recording, but as you're listening to this, it is Jeff's birthday. So, Jeff, happy birthday.
Thanks, man. It's my birthday on the East Coast. We've already watched the birthday ball drop and then went to bed early like I do on New Year's. So, yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, 46, never looks so old.
You know, we got to bring the beard back now.
Hey, speaking of looking old, I was just going to say, I officially didn't get the job that I had to shave for when I was going for it. Got a different job instead, but now I might grow the beard back. My sister is heartbroken that I might grow the beard back, but I might have to get a little Just for Men or something if I do grow it back, because it's a little more gray than I'm comfortable with.
There we go. Bearded boys will be back. But like I mentioned, today's episode, all questions from you guys. Thank you for supplying questions. Usually we got a lot of the same questions, and I guess usually maybe there's more topics that are stand out. But we've been getting some good questions the last few times we've had some days off. And once again, we have more good questions today. So let's just kick it right off. This one's from Kevin. I know he asked a similar question last week we didn't get to, so we'll get to it to start off this episode. Blue Goon 82. He says, our offense isn't the issue. However, the outfield can improve. Peralta and Taylor have been awful. Hayward has been solid, but I don't trust him to be an everyday guy. Outman's inconsistent. How can we improve at this spot? And then he goes on to add names like DeLuca, Páez, Bush, or a trade.
Yeah, it's definitely the case that, like I was saying yesterday, the offense is holding it down, but the Dodgers really need to improve in other places. And you can't, if there's one thing we've learned over the years in the postseason, it's that even the best offense can go cold. And sometimes I push back about people saying, oh, pitching and defense wins championships. You know, you win championships by winning games. You win games by scoring more runs than your opponents. And you can do that either by scoring a lot of runs or not allowing very many runs, or a combination of the two. But I do think in the postseason, whether it's because the pitching is better or just a smaller sample size, offense going cold can be amplified. You know, if during the regular season, if the Dodgers had a span of three games in the regular season where they went 0 for 20 with runners in scoring position, by 3 weeks later, we would have forgotten it because they would have bounced back. But when that happens in October, you don't forget it. And so you definitely want to put together as strong a team as possible on both sides. You'd really like to pair the offense with not allowing many runs so that on days when the offense does struggle, the pitching can show up and vice versa. And so, yeah, I do think that this next month or so, as we get closer to the trade deadline, we've got basically 2 months till the trade deadline, a month until they really start thinking about it. Like, I don't think teams are really going to start selling until July. And so we've got about a month to start figuring out those needs. But yeah, I mean, we had another question that, you know, Corey Shadid asked, with Trace Thompson finally hitting in his last game, how much time does this buy him? with the Dodgers. And he mentioned Johnny DeLuca too, currently blasting it in the minors, could be a good asset. Yeah, I think Trace Thompson probably has a month left to show, okay, four hits in his last two games after zero hits in his previous, you know, however many 40 at bats or whatever, which one is the real Trace? Because if this next month of Trace looks anything, if his batting average over the next month is less than under 200, the Dodgers are not going to keep him around. They're going to cut ties with him, whether that's trade deadline going for somebody else or giving a guy like Johnny DeLuca or Andy Pye has a chance. I do think that while pitching is obviously something the Dodgers are going to try to adjust in the next couple months, I think those offensive weaknesses, the little black holes right now, are definitely something that's on their radar too.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, overall the outfield number, other than Mookie, like everyone in the outfield's numbers are passable. And it's kind of dependent on which month you look at. Like if you look at Outman's April, it was really good. And then his May has not been good. And then if you look at Peralta's April, was really bad. And his May has been better than average. You know, Hayward just kind of goes game by game, kind of the inconsistency. You know, Trace hasn't given them much other than a couple games. So it's one of those things where, yeah, you kind of hope some consistency breeds over this next month. You know, if Peralta keeps up what he's been doing, if Outman can make those adjustments figured out, if Hayward can just be, you know, slightly better. But the other part is if, you know, all those, it's seemingly like every guy has a game, a series type of deal, which is fine, which obviously has been fine. They've been scoring a lot of runs. So, like, you know, if Peralta has a good game one of a series but doesn't do anything in the next two games, and then Hayward has a good game two of the series, doesn't do anything in the next two games, and then Outman has a good game in game three of the series but doesn't do anything the first two games, you can get by because you have guys like Mookie and Freddie and Will Smith that are – and JD that have been at least consistent to a certain extent to this point. So you can get by with that, but you would like to see a little more consistency. And, you know, Friedman talked the other day, and this is basically what it comes down to. Whatever they can find, someone that can hit, as long as they can play short or outfield, they're going to find it, and that's what they were probably going to go after. But I do assume we're going to see DeLuca before the trade deadline, unless they trade him in a deal that they get somebody from in the trade deadline.
Yeah. All right, next question. Let's go to – where are we at time? Okay, we'll do a shortish one. I'll do this one from Buehlerberger at Dodger Wave. If Bobby Miller has another good start and or shoves against the Yankees, do you think he stays in the rotation the rest of the season?
I think they would keep him in the rotation at least one more time through with the possibility of more. I don't know what their plan is for Bobby Miller in terms of innings, in terms of, you know, how much stress they want to put on his arm. That's the only reason I would say – I wouldn't say, yeah, they're going to keep him in the rotation, because I don't know what that is. And – you know, in the minor leagues, you can go and say, hey, Bobby, you're going to throw four innings today. You're going to throw five innings today. Or, you know, you're going to have a 75 pitch count, whatever. In the majors, you could do that, but you're putting your team at a disadvantage. You're putting your bullpen at a disadvantage. You're putting kind of Bobby at a disadvantage, because in the minors, you'd be like, okay, you know, it doesn't matter too much if I'm only throwing four innings today, five innings today. But if you tell, or a pitch count, if you tell him on the majors, like, he's going to try to probably do too much, you know, just subconsciously. So I think if he pitches well, he's going to stay in the rotation, you know, at least one or two more turns. But again, I don't know what their plan is, so I can't say much more beyond that.
Yeah, that's kind of, for me, I think it does have to do with the long-term strategy, because, you know, he threw 112 innings last year. And obviously that's his career high, because that was really his first full season in the minors. He threw, 56 innings the year before that. And then, you know, he was drafted the year before that, and there was no minor league season. And so at 112 innings last year, you figure maybe 150 this year. I doubt they'd want to go much past 150. He's at about 25 right now. So if he has 125 more innings and they have to account for some of those coming in the postseason, realistically, we're at like 110 more innings, which is maybe 20 starts. And, you know, 20 starts, that's pretty close to what's left in the season. So they could, if they say, okay, you know what, most of the time you're a five inning pitcher and sometimes six, if you're really efficient, they could do that. I would guess that they're going to want to give him at least one, you know, 3 week break without or skip him a couple times, you know, use some days off. Okay. You know, you're not going to pitch this next time through the rotation. And whether that's because they're in a six man rotation, because they haven't yet come to terms with cutting Noah Syndergaard loose or whatever. But I would guess that that's the plan. I'd like to see him in the rotation the rest of the way, but I do think they'll have to be careful about the innings.
Yeah. And you touched on it yesterday with Syndergaard. Everyone wants some DFA'd, but realistically they can't do that right now with the amount of pitching depth they have.
Yep.
All right, we got more questions, especially we got another Bobby Miller question that we'll get to right after we talk about Game Time, because today's episode is brought to you by Game Time. And if you're someone that, you know, decides on the last minute of the day of a game, the day of a concert, the day of a show that you want to go, but, you know, the tickets are sold out at the box office, the tickets are never really sold out. You can get Game Time, and it doesn't have to be stressful. Buying tickets does not have to be stressful. Game Time is the easy way to buy tickets for all the events around you. They got killer deals on last-minute tickets. They got a best price guarantee. Stop the stress. Start getting hyped for all the fun you're about to have. So go check out Game Time. Like I said, easy to find tickets. They got flash deals. They got seat. You can see what the seat looks like for most venues. They got the low price guarantee, event cancellation protection, all that kind of stuff. So go check out Game Time app and download it. Create an account. Use the code LOCKEDONMLB, and you'll get $20 off your first purchase. Remember, that's download Game Time app, create an account, use code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every single weekday morning. If you want to become a part of the everydayers, all you have to do is listen every day, which is when we're here for you Monday through Friday for about 30 minutes. You can find us where you find podcasts and on YouTube. You can also find us on SiriusXM or the SXM app if you search Locked On Dodgers, which is how you can listen to any Dodger game. SiriusXM, SXM app, search Dodgers. You can get the home broadcast for any game if you can't watch. So go check that out. All right, let's hop right back into these questions, and we'll stay on the Bobby Miller topic. We'll take a question from Danny at ITFDB626. He says, would you do a Braves-like extension for Bobby Miller soon?
I think Miller's one. The Braves approach to extensions is really intriguing to me, because even at the discounted rates they're getting, like obviously Ozzie Albies' discounted rate, okay, I'd send anybody to that much. Ozzie Albies literally took 20% of what he could have got on the open market when he hit free agency. So yeah, anybody at that rate. But you know, even Acuna, that's a lot of money, you know. And Olson and Murphy and these other guys that are locked up, Strider, it's a lot of money that they're paying these guys. And when the younger you are, you know, I always think of what was that guy's name for the Astros? Jonathan Singleton.
Yeah.
Who the Astros locked up to this big long-term contract. And then he played what, 10 games in the majors and was terrible. And, you know, it's, and obviously the Astros turned out okay. But there are, the more young guys you lock up to contracts, the more chance you have of paying money to deadweight, to guys who don't make it, who aren't as good as you thought they were going to be, whatever it is. We, you know, over the weekend, Keibert Ruiz looked like Babe Ruth against the Dodgers, but overall he this year hasn't actually hit very well. And the Nationals locked him up to a long-term contract before the season started. And, you know, so with pitchers, a guy like Bobby Miller, it's like, yeah, if he stays healthy, he seems like as close to a sure thing as there is. But that if he stays healthy is a big thing. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. I have concerns about locking up too many guys like that. And, you know, look at the Padres, who are even more, because they're not even getting huge discounts on these guys. They're just locking everybody up for 20 years. And I don't know if they're just assuming that somebody else will pay for it down the road or whatever. But the Dodgers, I don't want them going too crazy with those kind of extensions, because if we look at right now, if the Dodgers had Cody Bellinger and Yasiel Puig still locked up to long extensions, they would probably not be as good a team as they are right now. And there's roster flexibility in addition to the money. And every guy who you lock up who doesn't make it, if he's healthy, he's taking up a roster spot. And that's something to think about. So this specific question, yes, for Bobby Miller, I'd like to, you know, if it was at enough of a hometown discount, I'd love to see him locked up for a while. But overall, I would have concerns if I was a Braves fan just about the sheer number of contracts they're doing that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, Acuna would have looked bad if he didn't come back from injury, but now he's like MVP and making 15 mil and like 17 mil the next couple of years. So, you know, it just depends. But if you're going specifically like Spencer Strider, that's the really the only starter they've locked up long term. It was what, 6 years, 75 mil. It only bought out 1 year of free agency with the option for his second year of free agency. So when you look at it that way, I don't really see a reason to have to lock up Bobby Miller. Like, even if like Julio, who has had, you know, pretty much a great time so far in his pre-arbitration and arbitration years, you know, he's not making backbreaking money to where you would like, okay, we need to lock him up. Now, Bobby Miller, you know, if he does, then you are going to pay him a little bit more, but I think you're fine with taking that year by year. If you're going to sign a guy to an extension, I think it's got to buy out at least two free agent years. And for that, you're going to need to pay a little bit more money. So I don't see a reason to have to do it right now.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, these kind of deals are for, I don't know if they're for teams like the Dodgers. You know, the Dodgers, they print money, and, you know, obviously the luxury tax is a factor. But yeah, I mean, the Dodgers have Bobby Miller through at least 2028. And so is there a need to lock him up? I don't know. You know, wait till 2026. And if he's won two Cy Young awards, then, you know, start talking about extensions or whatever. And obviously the price goes up then, but, you know, they're the Dodgers. The actual dollar figures don't matter as much to a team like the Dodgers.
Yeah. All right. We have a few questions about trade deadlines. So I'll mention them and we can just kind of talk through these next few ones. We got one from Michael at Whitman 7. He says, biggest trade deadline need, starting pitching, bullpen, or lefty masher. Our buddy Kevin at Blue Goon 82 says, if we're Andrew Friedman for a day, what moves would you make to upgrade the remaining bad pieces that we're currently rostering? I guess that one's not trade deadline as much. But either way, we have one from Danny. Another one from Danny. Who would the Dodgers rather trade for, Dylan Cease or Shane Bieber? Also, would Jorge Soler be a good addition at the deadline? And how realistic would that be?
Yeah, a lot of stuff there.
We had another one, I think, from Joe Smith asking our deadline.
Oh, yeah.
What was our deadline?
Other than Otani, what's our dream acquisition at the trade deadline? And what would a package look like? So, yeah, a lot of stuff there. Michael's question, I think starting pitching and offense are both high. I don't think bullpen is going to be that high. I talked a little bit about that yesterday. We haven't really touched on the fact that the Dodgers got Gus Varland back from the Brewers. He had been a Rule 5 pick of the Brewers, and he actually pitched really, really well for the Brewers until the one game he didn't. I think he had only allowed like one run in his first 13 innings or something. I'm making up numbers now, but I'm not too far off. And then he allowed like 1,000 runs in one inning to the Cardinals, and he got DFA'd. 1,000 is obviously an exaggeration, but not as much as you would think. I think it was 9 or 10 runs in one inning that he allowed, got DFA'd. And because he'd been a Rule 5 pick, once he cleared waivers, nobody claimed him. The Brewers had to give him back to the Dodgers. So he's pitching in Oklahoma City now, and he definitely has stuff. He's a guy I could see helping in the bullpen. You know, we talked yesterday about some of these guys that they have who could be bullpen pieces. And so I don't see the Dodgers trading for a big name reliever, but I, you know, obviously if they see a reclamation project, they even traded for another 40-man roster guy whose name I don't remember. What was the guy's name they traded for today?
Ricky Venasco,
who has good stuff, has been, you know, mediocre in the minors, but has good stuff. So obviously they took a chance on a 40-man roster spot on him. And so they must see something in him, traded an actual prospect for him. So, you know, I could see them making those kind of moves. I think, though, the offense and the starting pitching are where they are going to make a big splash. And we won't touch on Otani because we have an Otani question that we'll probably do in the next segment. But I don't know, Vince, do you have any other like specific guys that you're looking for?
I mean, not other than the like ones that have been mentioned that we've already talked about, like, you know, a Corbin Burns, Willy Adames package, you know, would make sense, even though, as we talked about like before, like Willy Adames and Tim Anderson aren't having the greatest of seasons. I don't know if that makes them any cheaper or not. You know, with, you know, Dylan Cease was a name mentioned. I think he still has two more years after this, so that would cost a little bit more for the White Sox. But if you can build a package, you know, maybe Cease and Hendricks and Anderson, and you get a little bit of a discount for taking a couple more guys off their hands. You know, maybe, or it's more of a quality over quantity over quality type of deal, which the Dodgers have done before and hasn't really hurt them. You know, Shane Bieber is a guy that was mentioned today as somebody that they might get traded. Obviously, he'd be good for, you know, the Dodgers in the starting rotation. But again, I don't know. You know, the National League, we talk about that every team was within like five games of a playoff spot. In the American League, it's probably like 10 to 12 teams that are all within five games of a playoff spot. We just don't know yet who's going to, you know, really want to sell and who's not. And the teams that like are super out of it, like the A's and the Royals, they don't have anybody that would really help the Dodgers. Like, at least the A's don't. The Royals might have somebody that helps them out, but probably more reliever than anything because their starters have been really bad. And I don't think they have any hitters that are not, you know, part of their young core. So I don't have anybody right now that's not out of the names we've already been talked about and mentioned. And it's somebody's probably going to emerge at some point over the next month or so. But like you said, I think it's starting pitching and it's a hitter. And bullpen wise, I mean, Daniel Hudson, obviously we don't know what it is, what's going to happen with him. But if you say Daniel Hudson's going to come back after the trade deadline, that's like getting a guy. Alex Reyes might come back after the trade deadline, then that's like trading for a guy. You know, if Jimmy Nelson's arm and body ever holds up, you know, and you say, okay, we're going to have Jimmy Nelson, but not till after July 31st or August 1st, then you'd be like, okay, that's three guys. And you know, they did that last year, trying to wait for guys, Walker Buehler being one of those guys, and they didn't make it maybe the deals that they could have. But I think this year they're more set up in the bullpen. Right now, obviously, in a month, we could have two guys on the IL, and now we're looking for relievers as well.
Yep. And on the Bieber or Cease question, I think I'd go with Bieber because I think he's a better pitcher, and he only has a year and a half left instead of 2.5 years like Cease, and so probably wouldn't cost quite as much. So I didn't avoid that part of the question.
Yeah. We'll have a couple more questions, some Ohtani-based questions. Real quick, thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Make sure to check us out on YouTube or wherever you get podcasts or on the SiriusXM or SXM app, which is also how you can listen to Dodgers home broadcasts for any game. If you can't watch on TV, just download the SXM app or get on SiriusXM, search Dodgers, and you can find that home broadcast for any of the games. So, like I mentioned, we got a couple more questions. We'll get to the Ohtani ones. I'll just ask them real quick since we're already in the flow. Dodgers Dan 81 asks, will the Dodgers be all in on Ohtani? He says, obviously every team will make a play, but how aggressive will the Dodgers be?
Yeah, this is it's kind of weird because obviously Ohtani makes every team better. I wonder though if the Dodgers will be less all in than some teams just because he improves the Dodgers less than other teams because the Dodgers already have a very productive DH. And so obviously Ohtani makes the pitching staff better for sure. And he makes the offense better. But, you know, if it's him instead of JD Martinez, well, then the gap between Ohtani and JD is a lot smaller than the gap between Ohtani and a lot of teams' DHs. And so he doesn't make the offense as much better as he would for other teams. If they keep Ohtani and JD in the lineup, that means that one of them is playing the outfield, which means you're worsening your defense. And so I still think the Dodgers would love to get Ohtani, and if Ohtani hits the market, the Dodgers are they're definitely going to go after him. But I could see them getting outbid on the trade market just because he wouldn't improve them as much as they wouldn't be as desperate for him as some other teams might be, I guess.
Yeah, I read this question the opposite way of on the free agent market, just because he said every team will make a play. But either way, it's the same answer. Like at the trade deadline, I don't think they'll be all in. You know, I don't think there's an all in move there. And I don't think the Angels are going to trade. You know, the Angels are above 500 right now, I think. So they're in the mix. When it comes to free agency, you know, I've talked about Ohtani with a lot of people recently, just kind of, you know, different things. And we've mentioned this before. I don't think anyone really knows anything about Ohtani and what he wants, what, you know, other than he wants to play for a winner. I think that's kind of – that makes sense. And what we saw from him in the World Baseball Classic, you know, he lived up to that pressure, lived up to the billing. But other than that, I don't think, you know, West Coast preference, East Coast, the most money, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I don't think anyone really knows what it is. And that makes him a little bit of a wild card. And like we mentioned before, like picking the Angels, even if he just stuck to American League teams the last time because of the DH – picking the Angels was such a random thing that, you know, I don't think anyone would have guessed that if you had a, you know, if you had 15 guesses for all the American League teams, Angels probably would have sat like 9, 10, 11, somewhere in there. So, but again, when it comes down to him, I do think in free agency, the Dodgers will be right there. Now, but I do think they're going to stick with, you know, 5 to 7 years, 30, 40, maybe 45, 50 mil, depending. But I think what they can sell as a whole is you're coming to a winning organization, you're coming to a winning team, you know, with endorsed, if it's money you want with endorsements, you know, you'll make this much off of that based on being in the LA market and, you know, all that. You know, there's a lot more to sell with the Dodgers to a guy like Ohtani when it comes down to free agency. So I think that'll be the part of it. And then there's, other, you know, the Padres have been mentioned as a team. The Padres have spent a lot of money, aren't that good right now. They could, you know, improve. The Mets are another team that have been mentioned. They spent a lot of money. They're not that good right now. You know, Yankees have been mentioned, but the Yankees just paid Judge. Are they going to pay Judge? And they still have Cole and, you know, Ohtani. I don't know. And, you know, that's why I said I don't think he's going to get like the 400, 500 mil people are thinking, because the top teams that would pay him that aren't there. And it would have to take a small market or smaller team that hasn't made a splash like that before to make that splash.
Yeah, we actually got a DM from our buddy Pat Dwyer after we talked about Ohtani last week. And if I remember right, Pat's wife is Japanese. And so he has a little more insight into Japanese culture than we do. And he mentioned a good point that he thinks that Ohtani prefers the West Coast simply because time zone wise, a 7 p.m. game in Los Angeles is an 11 a.m. game in Tokyo, which means people can watch the game at work on their lunch break, those sort of things. Whereas if he's playing for the Yankees, the game starts at 8 a.m. in Tokyo, which is when you're getting ready for work or on the train to work. Not as easy to watch a game at 8 a.m. as it is at 11 a.m. And so, you know, just for the sake of his, you know, Pat says his guess would be on Ohtani's priorities would be number one, win a World Series, number two, be accessible to Japanese fans, and number three, make more money. And again, Pat doesn't have much more idea than we do what's in Ohtani's head, but he has maybe a little bit more idea than we do just because of his better connection to Japanese culture. And so I thought that was interesting and worth mentioning at least.
Yeah, that's an insight I never would have thought about that, you know, Ohtani would probably think about, you know, might not be a huge factor, but might play a small factor, especially since, you know, there are West Coast teams that could afford them. The other thing I was talking about in regards to Ohtani, you know, someone asked me, like, do you want Ohtani here? And there was another member of media. And I was like, as a fan, yeah, I want Shohei Ohtani here. As, like, media member, man, you know, that would be a lot and, you know, might push me out of certain spots or certain areas. But I think my fandom, obviously the fandom overcomes everything. So I'm all in on Ohtani coming over.
Yeah. And, yeah, he can just – Ohtani should just get us tickets and then we don't have to worry about getting in his press, you know?
Yeah, true.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Jeff, we have some other questions. There's another off day on Monday. We'll try to get to those and we'll ask for more questions on Monday, obviously. But you got anything else, Jeff, you want to add?
No, I really like doing this podcast. So I appreciate all our everydayers for sure.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Like I said, appreciate the questions. There are a couple we didn't get to that we will get to on Monday. And again, if you have any other questions or think of any over this weekend, we'll get to them on Tuesday's episode recording Monday night. So. Dodgers got the Yankees this weekend in town. I actually won't be at any of the games. So I know someone had mentioned the other day about my score or my winning streak and how it might be in jeopardy this weekend. I won't be there this weekend. So if they lose, you can blame me. If they win, it just would have been a byproduct of me.
Are you ducking the Yankees, Vince? Are you ducking?
I'm not actually not ducking. I'm actually have plans, but.
Okay.
Yeah. One real quick thing, Mookie Betts will be on this morning at 11 a.m. on the Bleacher Report app with Aaron Judge. So he's had a few episodes of his show. Mookie's really good. The guests that he's had have been good other than Mike Harris, who Mookie had to kind of drag stuff out of him. But Mookie's really good. He's very comfortable in that element. So that's a good thing. So go check that out if you want. But most importantly, listen to us, download us, listen, you know, check us out on YouTube. Check us out wherever you get podcasts. Locked On Dodgers. Become an everydayer by listening every day or at least thinking and trying to listen every day. You know, sometimes it doesn't happen, but for as the most as you can every day, try to listen. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell coworkers, tell anybody in your life about, you know, Locked On Dodgers if they need some more Dodgers in their life. You can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube and the SXM app. You can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SniDog. I'm at Vincent91. DMs are open on all those counts. If you ever need to get a hold of us, you can also get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device by podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you on Monday.